It is possible that Blessed Alan was given some infused knowledge, some revelation of things that were not otherwise documented. That possibility is real. I mean, as a Catholic, I have to hold out that possibility. If I were an historian, I couldn't base my history upon that speculation. I'd have to go by primary source material. That's the gold standard for writing history. I'm not stating this as a fact. In other words, this possibility that Blessed Alan got some sort of revelations, I'm not stating as a fact, but as a distinct possibility. Because possibly in his humility, St. Dominic didn't want to reveal, okay, Our Lady revealed this to me. Our Lady spoke to me, right? It is good to keep the secret of the king, Scripture says. Sometimes the greatest blessings that the saints receive, they don't tell people about. Sometimes they're discovered quite by accident. And it could be that God wanted it to be gotten out without offending St. Dominic's humility. So 200 years later, it came out from his Dominican son, Blessed Alan de la Roche. What is a fact is that long before the Dominican Rosary, that is the 15-decade Rosary with the 15 Our Fathers and the 150 Hail Marys recited while meditating on the 15 mysteries collected into the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries, five each, long before this Rosary existed, there were various collections of prayers that were kept track of by the use of beads or pebbles or knotted strings. Referring to such strings of beads or knots of Hail Marys as rosaries, that is, rose gardens, presented to the Blessed Virgin is a pious custom of medieval Christians. The use of such prayer beads and prayer strings and so forth goes back to the Desert Fathers, okay? In the East, they have the Chotki, and they use the Jesus prayer, you know, Kyrie Jesu Christe, ye tu theu eleison me ton amartulon. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. They'll say this prayer. Some of the monks will say it thousands of times a day, and sometimes they counted on the beads, right? There have been, in the history of the church, all sorts of kinds of rosary beads where, you know, X amount of Our Fathers are counted out, or X amount of Hail Marys, or X amount of the Jesus prayer that I just recited in Greek and English. This is a custom that's been in the Christian East as well in the Christian Occident since fairly early on, since the time of the Desert Fathers. And yes, it developed in the history of the church. Strangely enough, we do have this concept of development in the history of the church, something that Protestants tended to be adverse to until we realized that historically their invention was not just developed, but invented in the 16th century. Moving right along, the question of the exact origins of the rosary, whether Blessed Alan's revelations are accurate or not, is entirely irrelevant as regards the probity or moral goodness or spiritual benefits derived from praying the rosary. Christ's church has consistently endorsed it. It has been used and recommended by thousands of saints and millions of Christian faithful over the centuries. Its goodness and its sanctity do not hinge on the details of its history. So, I mean, just for argument's sake, if Blessed Alan de la Roche was nuts, and I'm not saying he was, I'm absolutely not saying he was, I don't believe he was, but if he was nuts and he made that stuff up, that absolutely does not, in the slightest, touch upon the sanctity of the rosary. I'm wearing a Dominican rosary on my habit now, the real thing, the 15-decade Dominican rosary. That's what we generally mean when we say rosary. As I said, there were hundreds, perhaps thousands of other kinds of rosaries that had different constructions, different prayers. But this masterpiece, this Psalter of the Laity, or Our Lady's Psalter, as it's sometimes called, because the 150 Hail Marys represent the 150 psalms that are in the Psalter. And of course, the monks and the clergy prayed the Divine Office, reciting the 150 Psalms in the Divine Office during the course of, well, originally it was a week. In some cases, it was a day in the early church in the desert. Those 150 Psalms are represented in the 150 beads, each of which is a Hail Mary in the reciting of the Rosary. So this beautiful custom is in no way impugned or disparaged if the history isn't exactly accurate as it was related by Blessed Alain de la Roche. So I'm saying that for the sake of argument. I actually believe Blessed Alain de Roche's account for what it's worth. It's not the infallible teaching of the church. This is not inerrant, inspired history either. So if somebody calls it into question, as the Bollandists did in the 17th century or 18th century, then, you know, it doesn't do anything to my faith, and it's not going to stop me from saying the rosary. All right, so, and again, it's God's infallible church that judges these things correctly. That's what I trust, not my own reading of does this comport with the Bible, or do I have to find physical verifiable evidence somehow, I don't know, in the tomb of St. Dominic in Bologna to prove that the rosary was really given to St. Dominic by Our Lady in the 13th century. And again, even if it wasn't, it's no skin off my rosary. A reading from the I'm a little distracted right now. Brother handed me something, and I thought I was going to read the Martyrology. He handed me my reset reminder. You've been listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, and you're still listening to it because the show is continuing. To draw an analogy, presumably, Mr. Sundquist is a believer in biblical inerrancy. Now, physical verification evidence, to use his own phrase, of St. Paul's authorship of the books of the Bible that he attributes to St. Paul. There are 14 books of the Bible that are attributed to St. Paul commonly. I mean, some people question Hebrews. I don't, but some people do. St. Paul's name doesn't even show up in Hebrews, and there are reasons for that. But we're not going to get into that now. If you want to read about that, there's a book on there's an article by me on Catholicism.org about the Epistle to the Hebrews that does go into it. But St. Paul's authorship of these 14 books in the canon of the New Testament that are attributed to him, there is no physical verification evidence to prove that he wrote them. We don't have his DNA to connect to the epistles to the Corinthians, one of which Mrs. Sundquist cites in a later question here. Neither do we have the original autographs of that epistle. Autographs meaning not, you know, St. Paul autographing a football or something, but the actual original manuscripts that were written by the hand of St. Paul or by the hand of those people to whom he dictated, as he did, I believe, in the case of 1 Corinthians itself. There are other epistles where there was a transcriber or a copyist, or not a copyist, but a secretary, basically, who was writing out what St. Paul's dictating. That was not an uncommon thing. So in some cases, we know the name. I believe Sosthenes was helped St. Paul in the writing of 1 Corinthians. So we don't have the DNA, we don't have the physical verification evidence to prove the Pauline authorship. His authorship and the authenticity of that book, 1 Corinthians, are traditions of the church, as is his authorship of all of the 14 inspired epistles attributed to him in the canon of the New Testament. That's good enough for me, that this is a tradition of the Catholic Church. St. Augustine famously said, I wouldn't believe in the Gospels themselves if it weren't for the authority of the Catholic Church. Now, this is St. Augustine. This isn't me. This is St. Augustine. Therefore, he's showing you something about the rule of faith as it was understood in the patristic era. It wasn't Bible first, then church. It was church first, because that's what Jesus founded in 33 before the Bible existed, before most of the books of the New Testament existed anyway. So we get you know, church first, then Bible. In the Protestant thing, it's the Bible comes first, then the churches are basically these human things that come afterwards. Yeah, we know that Jesus founded a church, but what is Protestant ecclesiology anyway? If you're a Baptist, do you really think that Jesus founded the Baptist church when he was alive? Are you serious? If you're a Presbyterian, really? Lutheran, really? You think Jesus founded your church? I mean, come on. None of them claim this, okay? It's the crazy Catholics that make these claims, right? But the Church of the New Testament clearly was something that existed that predates the New Testament. Why? Because it's written about in the New Testament. Okay, a history book that relates something that happened